Evening, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I'll say that God has been faithful to us here. And I know that Pastor Taylor would say that the Lord has been faithful to the folks at Welcome Door Baptist Church where he is. God is faithful. God is not the problem. We are the problem. But in spite of our shortcomings, God loves us. We talked about that this morning. We are beloved of the Father. Jesus Christ was at his baptism when God spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son." And God refers to us believers as his beloved. And you think about that for a minute. And you think you're worthless and there is no hope and God doesn't love you and nobody in the world loves you. God loves you, calls you beloved, his favorite. An amazing Bible truth. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now. This is the culmination, the summation of the entire book of Ecclesiastes and the entire life of King Solomon. Remember now. Now, you can write this chapter in your life after you've wasted your life on riotous living as a warning to those who are following you. Or you can write this chapter of your life as an encouragement to others to follow the Lord as you have done. You're going to do one or the other. Remember now from a voice of strength, or remember now from a voice of regret. Let our young people be dismissed for children's Bible time. Mr. Frank, Ms. Rodriguez, you can be dismissed. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and they will come, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And you talk to the senior citizens as they get older, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, and they'll tell you they go from doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment, specialist to specialist, aches and pains galore. And they'll say, "I have these days do not bring me pleasure." And I talk to my dad, he's 96 years of age, and he has spent his life serving the Lord, and he has. But if you had asked him, would you rather be where you are this evening, or would you rather be standing in a pulpit preaching the Word of God as you were 30 years ago, and he'll tell you he'd rather be in the pulpit preaching the Word of God. Those days are gone. These days do not bring pleasure. They don't. Struggle for existence. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. There's going to come a time in your life when your faculties are darkened. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Talking about your legs. You look at an old person. Where's Rick tonight? You watch Rick when he walks. And those legs are not steady anymore. They used to be, but they are not anymore. And the strong men shall bow themselves. And the grinders, they're not going to have you raise your hand. How many of you have lost your teeth? Have partial plates, false teeth. Dentures on the top, dentures on the bottom. Your spouse says, "What do you want me to get from Walmart?" And you say, "Denture cream." There come a day when your teeth will fall out. Or, they're just few. And those that look out the windows, be darkened. A preacher did not used to wear glasses, but I do. My eyesight used to be better than 20/20. Those days are gone. You get on to the police department firing range, and the guys, the old guys, are there, and they say, line up and put on your safety glasses. And they're looking for their glasses just so they can see the target. And they're trying to get it into focus. Figure out, it's a scary thing. But it's a more of a frightening thing to be darkened spiritually. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. Ah, what you say? Say that one more time. Well, one more time. Oh, slower one more time. Because as you get older, your hearing declines. So you can spend your teenage years blasting your eardrums with crazy music. And when you're 85, we'll be teaching you sign language. You can't communicate. Also, verse 5, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Hey, fellas, got a full head of hair, enjoy it. You say, preacher, you got gray hair. I've got hair. When I'm 95, I'll still have hair. That'll put you about 45 and your hair will be gone. I got to make fun of you. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, eternity. And the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, the golden bowl be broken, the pitcher be broken at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He wasted many years by the time he got to this point in his life. Yet he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words and that which was written upright, even words of truth. Words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. I understand this evening I'll stand before you, and those who are, I don't know, over probably 60 or 70 years of age will say, young people, pay attention. And those who are under 30 years of age will say, man, the old man, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. The making of books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. All the students say amen to that. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Are you ready? Solomon has been young and is old. He has been wise. He has lived foolishly. He's back to wisdom again. Here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, which every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Youth is a wonderful thing, but your youth should not be spent for sin and sinfulness or worldly pleasure, because judgment is a reality. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening, that you would help us to be admonished by this last chapter of Ecclesiastes, this last word of Solomon as he closes out this book. And Help us to be wise, we pray, and be admonished as we look to your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Draw your attention to chapter 11, verse number 9. The passage says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth." And nothing the matter with being young and having energy. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, as long as you want, and as often as you want. But you best know that God is going to bring it into judgment. Judgment is a reality. There's nothing the matter with enjoying life. You follow me along very long throughout the day. You follow along and you'll hear me say this phrase. Now people say, "Hey, how you doing?" I say, living the dream, because I'm living the dream, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. What you do right now is important. What you do right now is meaningful. Young people, the energy that you expend right now is important. But your youth is transient and it is fleeting. You talk to an older man, older lady, and say, "Do you miss these days?" And they'll say, "It seems like yesterday." James put it like this in James chapter 4, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then passeth away." Transient and fleeting. And I know sometimes in life, this week has been one of those weeks we've had gray skies and fog all week long. It just seemed like the sun was never going to shine again. And that's Michigan weather. Most of the fall, most of the spring, it just seems like fog every single day. You get snow delays here in Michigan, they get fog delays. Because the fog is so thick you can't see the road in front of you. Wait for 2 hours for it to burn off. This week it didn't burn off. And I know sometimes in your life when it seems dreary and it seems like the clouds and the never going to go away and the sun is never going to shine again, and it will. Be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord. So three admonitions this evening from this last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Admonition number one, choose to serve God now in your youth. Serve God while you are young and strong. Do not wait to serve God until you are old. Why? Because then your desire fades. You talk to many of an old person, "Hey, would you do this?" Say, "Pastor, I would, but I'm just so tired." "What were to happen to Mrs. Bishop today? Would you date somebody in their 20s? You have got to be kidding me. Those people have energy. If I was going to date somebody, it would be somebody that was old. Because what do I want to do? I want to go home at night. I want to sit in the chair. Give me a book. Prop my feet up. Put me under an afghan. Run around. Go out. Go for a walk. No, I don't want to do it. Do you want to do it?" I don't want to. I don't have the energy. The desire is gone. I think it's gone. Old people, I put in my outline, as we age. I don't want to consider myself old, but I think I am. As old people, as we age, our mental and physical strength diminishes. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Verse 3 says, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease, because they are few." And I want to keep my teeth. And look out the windows and they'd be darkened. This bishop says, "Will you take a look at this?" And I'm like, "Can I put my glasses on?" I'm trying to see if you look better. Mrs. Bishop, I think, was 35 when she had her first cataract surgery. And an industrial accident on the farm, but probably attributing to that, we don't know. 35, I said to the doctor, before she went in to do surgery, I said, "When you're done with her eye, the lens," I said, "can I take that home with me?" And the doctor said, take it home with you. I said, yeah, can I take it home with me? Can I keep it? You're going to take it out, right? She said, yeah. I said, you're going to throw it away, right? She said, yeah. I said, I want to take it home. She said, why in the world would you want to take that home? I said, because if I look better before she had her cataract done, I want you to put it back. She might be able to see good and look at me and go, whoa, you don't look good. Mrs. Bishop's dad died when he was 59. Had a heart attack, dropped over dead. But while he was alive, he served the Lord. He was a song leader in our church as I was growing up. And he would have us sing this song. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth. Because you're not guaranteed to make it to 96. You might want to serve the Lord while you're 35 or 15. I see the keepers, the arms, the hands, the strong men, the legs, the grinders, the teeth, the lookouts, the eyes, shut doors, the ears, the voice of the bird, the sleeplessness. And I'll just say, young people, when you get old people that are not sleeping well, they get to be irritable. And that's not mentioned in the passage. That's just an admonition if you're dealing with mom and dad. Lose their ability to sing. You talk to Brother Merrick about that. He'll tell you as choir members age, their flexibility in their voice, their range narrows. They can't hit the super high notes. And so Brother Monday will say, do this one down here. Let's not go up to that G. Let's go down to the E, as we did tonight in the choir. Why? We just don't have that range. Young people, you have that range. You should be using those voices to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Legs fail. They get to be weak. They shake. They don't walk up. We take things for granted, walking up and down the stairs. And you get to be an old person, these things here become a necessity. You watch an old person when they get out of the car. One hand on the door, one hand on the seat. They balance themselves. And then they stand there for a second. Because they've been sitting down for all of 15 minutes. Stuff just doesn't work well anymore. And they get their balance and they take off. But you watch them. Because that's where you're going to be someday. Soon. As a vapor. One of the number one complaints I get as pastor here at church. Pastor, I'd like to go down to the fellowship. But I gotta do those stairs. And I don't do stairs anymore. They're difficult. They're hard. And number two complaint I get is, Pastor, I can't hear the preaching anymore. It's not because the sound system is failing. Because your ears are. The olive tree, the white hair, the heights. I'll be afraid, verse 5, of that which is high. You know, talk to Mrs. Bishop about that. Back in her youth, she used to climb to the top of the 100-foot silo on the farm.
Ms. Bishop, do you have any desire to do that tonight? No, not a bit.
Ms. Bishop and I like to hike in West Virginia. We like to climb to the top of fire towers. There's some towers she won't climb anymore. And when the preacher climbs them, I'm always holding on to something because I'm not as steady as I used to be. I like to hike. I like to hike Old Rag out in the Shenandoah Valley. I like to look at the stars, but I dare not look up unless I'm holding on to a tree because I'm going to go right over the edge. Just part of life. Part of life. Why? Because we're headed to that long home, eternity. Where the silver cord, the spinal cord is done, and the golden bowl, the brain is done, and life is over. And you stand before God and you give account. Dan DeCandelio of Ashland, Virginia, the Richmond area, walks his child 5 miles every day, has for the last 9 years. His child is 10 years of age. His child's name is Gozier. It's a 10-year-old dog. About a week ago, they were out in Ashland, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, when it was really cold here, like 15 degrees out in the morning. And the dog, they have this route, their 5-mile route that they take, and the dog skips along the way, but all of a sudden the dog stopped and pulled to the house on the right and gave a whine that caused the owner to say, "What in the world is the matter? You this way, we got 5 miles to go. Stay focused." And the dog whining, and he looked towards the house, and there, blending in with the snow and the 15-degree temperatures, a lady in a white bathrobe blended in, but she had fallen. She'd come out up to the door. She had fallen, and she had been laying there for the last 3 hours. They looked at the Ring doorbell camera and saw that she went out there at 4:15 a.m. and she'd been out there for 3 hours. Her body temperature was 78 degrees. Spent a week in ICU. She was recently released. And I say again, point number one, choose to serve God now in your youth, because it does not get easier as you get older. And something routine as going out front, and you watch the videos, and a person goes out and they fall, and you laugh until it's not something to laugh at. And then we go, what a terrible thing. We had a man here in Fairfax County. He went out just walking along, went over the ice. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, fell, hit his head, knocked himself out. He had one little cut on his leg, but he died from exposure to the elements. They found his frozen body the next day. So he was a young man. You can say, hey, it doesn't happen to young people, but it does. It happened to 59-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 9-year-olds. Serve the Lord. Choose to serve God in your youth. Number two, choose to serve God now, because tomorrow may be too late. And I've been here long enough that I have talked to a lot of different people of a lot of different ages. There just seems to be something about 60, 61, 62... Mom and dad are now becoming empty nesters. The last children are gone from the house. And I have talked to, over the last 30 years, a number of 60-ish year olds who have said, "Pastor, pray for my kids. They are not in church. They don't go to church because for the last 30 years when they were growing up, I didn't take them to church. I didn't teach them about spiritual things. And I'll just say they learned well." Because now mom and dad are in their 60s. They're seeing that eternity is certain, that someday they will stand before God and they will give an account. And they see their children not giving God any attention and their grandchildren not hearing anything about the Lord. And they know those grandchildren are going to end up in a devil's hell. And they have regret. But I'll tell you, deciding to serve the Lord when you're 60 years of age is way too late. It's not going to be too late for you personally, Solomon, to make a change, but it's going to be too late for the successive generations that are following you. Proof in point is Solomon's son was a fool. Split the kingdom. Took Solomon's wealth and squandered it. And your children will do the same to you. When you're 15, you should decide that you're going to serve the Lord. Verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. That is not what I wanted for my life. Someday this old tent is going to be folded. People say to me now, "Hey, preacher, it's good to see you." My reply is now, at my age, it's better to be seen than to be viewed. Now, young people don't even know what that means. Because you go to a funeral home to a viewing. Better to be seen than to be viewed. Now, Chelsea goes, "Oh, I get it now." I want to have the apostles, Paul's confidence. And look forward to being with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Is he your Lord? Do you follow him? Do you obey him? Do you listen to him? It's a sad thing as well. I have watched, Mrs. Bishop and I will tell you, we have been here again long enough that we've seen many different youth groups come through. Some have been really good and some have said, "Man, we don't want them to grow up and go away." And others have said, we have said 2 weeks before they turn 18 and they're out of the youth group. Yay! Some have been very attentive. Others have been a pain, absolute pain. Different groups. It's just interesting to see young people as they age and watch your responses. Now, you may learn to say the right thing. But Mrs. Bishop and I have been around long enough that we have a tendency to look beyond what you're saying and look for things like the eye roll. And you do the right thing and you say the right thing, but your eye is rolling. And I said to Mrs. Bishop just recently, I said, here's somebody, and I'll tell you what, they do the right thing, they say the right thing, but their attitude is somewhere else. And that's seen. Older people can see that. And I've watched people, children grow up and become older teens. Again, some polite, some respectful. But you perfect the eye roll. And those that teach you, your parents, as they look at you, they know this is not going to end well. Verse 11 talks about the words of the wise. The words of the wise are as goads. And then we talked about that on Sunday morning. We had the judge, and he had the ox goad. That's all he was equipped with. And what is that? I brought in on that Sunday morning an old piece of wood that I had out in the shed and stuck a nail in the end and sharpened it up and pretended to poke some people along. And it's like, if somebody pokes you in the backside, you'll get along, you'll get moving, but only because you've been poked. The words of the wise are as goads to them. Is nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. God's word should not be seen as a goal. You should not be as a youth apathetic. You should not be sluggish or undisciplined. You should strive, young people, you should strive to be the one that sees God in his word. And fasten your nail in the sure place. Isaiah talked about that. Isaiah 22, verse 23, "And I will fasten him as a nail in the sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house." Talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the glory and the issue, all the vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagons." And you should make sure that you are hanging yourself and your life on the unchanging truths of God's Word. Because if you don't, you have no idea where you're going to end up. Tanya McGeehan from Utah, she was in Las Vegas with her 11-year-old daughter just a few weeks ago. They were attending a cheer competition, and they were in the upper echelons of the competition, and it was their time to do their routine, and she didn't show up. 11-year-old Addie did not show up. It was a national cheer competition hosted in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so when they did not show up for their assigned slot in the morning, the team person requested that the motel do a check on the well-being. So the motel went up and knocked on the door, and nobody came. It wasn't checkout date yet, and there had been nothing untoward going on. The card was still on the door that said, "Do not disturb," and the motel said, "Well, we can't do anything. They're still not there." And the afternoon came, they didn't show up for lunch, and the afternoon time slot came up, and they didn't show up for that. And then they dialed 911 and said, "Hey, we've got this person here, and they have not shown up, and they've missed two competitions. You should go check on them." They finally opened the door. They found that mom had taken a revolver and shot her 11-year-old daughter in the head and then turned the gun on herself. Distraught because somebody had said some words to them that were unkind. And you're here as an 11-year-old and you think, "I'm going to live forever," but I'm just telling you, you have no guarantee of that. You might want to decide to serve the Lord in your youth. Number three, choose now, because soon you will have to give account. That account will be to God. Our military stresses duty, honor, country. That's impressive. To hear a Marine say, "Duty, honor, country," I mean, brings goosebumps. I get goosebumps just to hear them and their resolve. Oh, to hear a young man, a young Christian man, a young lady to say, "Duty, honor, God." Man, that would be impressive. Fear God. Verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Many youth say, "I'm not an adult, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the parent, I'm not the teacher, I'm not the deacon, I have nothing to give an account for." Young people, are you listening to me? You are a student. Your job right now is to be a student and to be the best student that you can be. To study, to show yourself approved unto God. Study. Go to school. Do your best. Go to bed at night. Put your phone away. Get up in the morning. Go to class. Pay attention. Do your best. Learn. That is your job. "Oh, I don't want to go to school. I want to learn. I don't want to pay attention. I'm going to skip. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to go have fun." You do that. But know this, you will give an account to God. Just as a preacher will give an account, just as your mom and dad will give an account, just as the deacons will give an account, every single person will give account to God. Are you a diligent student? My dad strived to be faithful to the Lord. The last 30 years, I have not seen him in Virginia. He did not come here. He's too busy. Dad, why don't you come to Virginia to see us? I'm too busy. I'm serving the Lord. I got Sunday school class. I got visits to make. I got things to do. You're the one that left. You just have to find your way back. And so we do. The last 30 years, we've gone back twice a year to see Mom and Dad. But he's there serving the Lord. Now he's 96 years of age. He has spent his life teaching and preaching and visiting and writing letters and leading people to Christ. He's done that all of his life. He's 96. What do you think? He's sitting down and thinking, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is what he says. He said, man, I have regrets. I was thinking about when I was a teenager. Dad, you know, that was 85 years ago. Yeah, but my brother said I was mean to him. And I felt bad about that. 96 years of age, he called his brother up and said, you know, when we were teenagers, I think I was mean to you. He was probably in his single digits then, but my dad was a teen. And my dad said, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And his brother said, you were mean to me. You were mean to me. You can sit here tonight and say, when I get to be 96, I'm not going to have any regrets. You have no idea what you're going to do when you're 96 because you're not there yet. But 96-year-olds will tell you that they have regret. If my dad has regrets and he has spent his entire 96 years serving the Lord, there's no time when Dad went out and sowed his wild oats, not that I'm aware of, not that he's told me, not that I have seen, and I was in his home for 18 years, I have a pretty good idea how that man lived his life. If that man has regrets, just think about the regrets you're going to have. It is impossible to live life without any regrets. But you listen to me. You should not strive to live your life so that you have the most regrets of anyone who has ever lived. The place was Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. As many of our national parks, there are lots, a plethora of warning signs that said, do not go beyond here, do not get off the paved path, do not go into this area, danger. Volcano, you would think, maybe hot, maybe lava, gases. But every year, people go beyond the signs, they trespass. I'll just say that, as a bishop, that's criminal to do that. Why? Because she likes to do that. And she's got her conscience with her. And I said, there's a no trespassing sign there. That means us. That's criminal to walk behind that. And she said, I can't read the sign. And a man, 33 years of age, say, what's his name? I don't know his name because his next of kin has not been notified yet. Went under the wire, beyond the sign, off into volcano land, and they found him, and he is dead. What did he do? He ignored the warnings. Those warnings were as goads. Just stop poking me, preacher! Stop it! Mom, just leave me alone and let me be! Words of the wise are as goads to you. You can sneak into places where God's word says don't go, but don't be surprised if it does not end well. So this entire book of Ecclesiastes, can be summed up in two words. Remember now. Remember now. Remember now. Who? Thy Creator. Because your chances of salvation lesson, which each and every year. Mark and I were at McDonald's on Thursday, and there at McDonald's was a man. He's 86 years of age. He is schooled. He is intelligent. He is studied. He is a lawyer. He passed the bar exam. For those of you that have ever taken the bar exam, you know how difficult that is. He did not practice law. He practiced civil engineering. Brilliant mind. He's sitting there at McDonald's reading some kind of textbook, 86 years of age. He overheard us talking about spiritual things, and he had questions.
And Mark and I tag-teamed him and witnessed to him. Here's the problem. He's 86 years of age. He's a smart guy. But his faculties are fading. The older you get, the less likely you're going to be to trust Christ. He's got to get beyond his age. Number two, his ability to think and to rationalize and to be able to make that conscious decision to, I'm going to accept Christ, gets less and less and less with every year. And I talked to him, and Mark talked to him. I gave my testimony. Mark gave his testimony. And you could tell, it was just smart guy, but it was just going over his head. What are the chances that that man is going to receive Christ as a Savior? It's just a really neat thing, divine appointment, that God put Mark and I there at that time to talk to him. And Mark again since then to talk to that man. But we both know that his chances of trusting Christ are very, very small. And you think that you're going to trust Christ when you're 80 years of age, when you've lived your life and you've had your fun, and then you're going to trust Christ? Every year you say no, it becomes harder and harder, more difficult, more challenging to say yes to the Master. And so Solomon says, remember now. Remember now. Then number two, trust Christ now. Number two, serve the Lord while you're young. When you have much to offer the Lord. I was 37 years of age. I was in police work here in Fairfax County. I had been promoted several times. I had been selected for a detective position. All I had to do was show up. And Lighthouse Baptist Church voted to call me as their pastor. I could have very easily continued on my career. My dad looked at me, my spiritual dad, and said, "Preacher, what are you thinking? You have made some dumb decisions in your life, but nothing would be more dumb than being the pastor of a Baptist church. You got a good career, you got a good retirement, you've got good benefits. What are you thinking?" That's what my spiritual dad said. Now, I think he's glad. I think, Brother Ray, that he's glad that I'm here. I think, no. But at the time, that's what he said. So Mrs. Bishop and I didn't have the spiritual support to make this decision. And I look, and this is what was going through my mind. I could, as I had 10 years on, I could have gone another 10 years and got a retirement. 20 years and gone out early. I could have stayed 15 years and gone out full. Could have stayed another 20 years and gone out with 75% of my income. And that would have made me 62. 62, you can still serve the Lord. I just tell you, you hit your 60s and your desire is going to fade. And this is what I said. I do not want to give police work the best years of my life and give God what's left over. I want to give God the best years of my life. Here we are 30 years later, and I say, live in the dream. 30 years from now, you can make that decision tonight and say the same thing. Or you can say, I wish I had. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Tonight, God speaks from antiquity, 3,000 years ago. Solomon wrote these words of experience, wisdom, reason, and authority. Will you heed them, or will they be like goads? tonight you'd say, "Preacher, I'm here, but I'm not even a Christian." Tonight is the time to make that decision. Choose now. Remember now. Because you've been created by God. God's got a plan for your life. He provided you salvation because of your sin. And you are a sinner. And you know you are. But tonight, God's speaking to your heart. You need to be saved. You need salvation. You need God. But you've never done that. Never received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Tonight you say, "Preacher, I'm unsaved. I need to be saved. I've never considered that there is a God, that sin has a penalty, and I need a Savior. But tonight I'm thinking about that. Preacher, pray for me." Slip your hand up, hold it up for just a moment. I'll just pray for you. Question number two. "Preacher, I'm here. I'm a Christian. I know Christ. I've received the gift of God, which is eternal life. There's some decisions I have to make. I'm being forced to make. I'm being challenged to make. Or some decisions that I'm making that are just absolutely the wrong decisions. And tonight, God has spoken to my heart. Would you pray for me that I would do the right thing and remember now? Remember now, my God." Okay. All right. Yes. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Some young people, some older people. The older people wish they were younger to be able to make those decisions. And those decisions are yours to make. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I pray that you do work at the altar in our life and a work in our hearts tonight that would be unparalleled for your honor and your glory throughout all eternity. Every head is bowed, the piano is playing, the altar is open.